Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN will join us at high noon. Chris Mason at 1 o'clock. Right now we talk a little college football with Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. Adam, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. We had Ryan McGee on yesterday, and I'll just kind of ask you the same thing that I asked him, just to get your perspective. It seems like I can ever remember a case, and so obviously we've turned a corner and with what's going on in our country, and I think it's all for the good, but I don't think we've ever seen this much power to the student athlete. I can't ever remember student athletes coming out and literally taking, having a bone to pick with their head coach on social media and everything, happening the way that it did. It started with Mike Norvell at Florida State. Even Dabo Swinney has certainly had to do a lot of videos and answering to what happened 3 years ago. Now enter Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. What do you make of right now kind of the tide shifting a bit with these players and these student athletes where they've, forever it felt like the cards were all stacked against them, but it doesn't feel that way today.
No, and again, I think they're seeing what's gone on in the country and how many people have taken action. And, social media, it's obviously a medium that they're very familiar with. They know how to use it already, and I think they're learning how to use it effectively beyond just putting out a highlight video that the school put together for them. So, yeah, it's interesting to see where this is going to go. I don't know if I can remember anything quite like the Chuba Hubbard situation earlier this week, but you figure that's not the last time that we'll see a player be bold about something, maybe about a coach or about the program. We're seeing a lot of athletes being involved in changes on their campuses, whether it's the removal of statues or building names or other things that trouble them, especially the black athletes, who are obviously the majority in college football. So, yeah, it's a very interesting and, I would say, exciting time right now, even though we don't have with games or anything like that are confirmed to look forward to. But it's, the activism going on among college athletes is something that I know I've talked about with people in the sport for many years. Why isn't there more? And I think we just needed certain things to happen nationally and then those guys to feel like they had the power and the courage to go out and put things out there. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Do you think Mike Gundy gets it? I mean, he's always been a different cat, but, I mean, moving forward, how do you think that's going to play out in Stillwater?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the next time, you know, he talks to the media and has to kind of face follow-up questions about what happened. You know, he mentioned OAN in a kind of in an opening statement unprompted around the coronavirus during a conference call with reporters back in April. So, you know, again, that wasn't even asked about it. He volunteered it. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, whether there is actual reflection. You know, he did finally apologize on the video on Tuesday, I guess. But, you know, you're right. He's not a guy that typically backs down for much. He's not a guy that feels like he has to fall in line. And I think in some ways it suited him in Oklahoma State, especially because he's an Oklahoma State guy, but it's also, you could probably argue, hindered his career in terms of maybe moving on from there because I think people are a little concerned about the way he operates.
Adam, we're all trying to figure out in all these sports, the return to play is just around the corner where a lot more things are going to get cranked up, and we're all trying to figure out what is it going to look like? Well, the college football season, the NFL season, has not been normal this offseason. So I'll ask you on the college football front, how do you think this product is going to look this season? How much do you think in your mind it'll be affected?
Well, I think it's going to be affected. You know, I think the interesting thing is, you know, we're seeing, you know, these positive tests pop up when athletes return to campus. And, you know, I spoke to a team doctor in the Big Ten about this about a week ago, and they were saying how this is kind of expected because people are coming from different parts of the country. I know Kansas State has almost had several series of positive tests because not everybody reported for voluntary workouts at the same time like you had at other programs. So I think now is the key. You have everybody together. You seemingly have more control, even though you don't have control over their behavior 24 hours a day, and they're going to be around other people. They're going to be around other teammates. They're going to be around other students when they return to campus. They're going to be, in some cases, in larger cities or even towns. Other places will be a little bit smaller. So how, you know, what happens the next time there's testing? Or are we going to see cases pop up during the contact portion of practice, the real portion of practice, which, you know, will begin in mid-July? And then is that going to continue happening as we get closer to the season? Because if that does happen, especially if there's larger numbers, then you have to be really concerned about the possibility of a team having to shut it down for a little while if they have, you know, 20 or 25 or 30 positive tests. So it's all on the table. I think everybody's trying to manage this the best they can, even though there's not kind of a standardized protocol, a national protocol. Every school's doing it a little bit differently. So that's another factor here. Can we get that standardized protocol for competition? Are people going to feel comfortable having that protocol? And then are we going to have, you know, high numbers of positive tests when we get closer to the season? Because if you do, I was talking with an AD about this last week in the group of five. What is the number? Is it 15? Is it 20? Is it 25? I think anything beyond 25, it's hard to send a team out on the field for a number of weeks. And that's going to be a major disruption, obviously.
Boy, very complicated stuff. And, you know, you'd hate to think about it, right? You always hope, Adam, that, you know, it'll work out. You get down there, you do the right things. And some of these programs have been dealt already the first challenge. And I guess we knew it was inevitable, right? Isn't that fair to say? Nobody thought that when you started coming back that you wouldn't have anybody test positive. So the question is, can they maneuver through these challenges, as you pointed out? But man, you can probably make the case that it's going to be really, really difficult. It's only going to get tougher from here, as you just sort of laid out.
Right, exactly. And, you know, again, you know, I think a lot of administrators and coaches and folks in the program wanted to get these guys back because they felt they could have more control over, you know, where they're going to be and what they're going to do. And they're going to obviously give them instructions as far as what they can, you know, do to prevent themselves from getting the virus. But, you know, they'll say that in the same breath, we can't be with them 24 hours a day. And what's going to happen when dorms open? What's going to happen when some students return to campus and they're going to have those interactions? Is it still going to be easy to control, or is it going to be more difficult? So I think that, you know, again, it's certainly a concern that you're seeing these tests. And, you know, I know Houston had to stop their workouts already But is that going to be happening again in July? Is that going to be happening again in August? If the answer is yes, then I think you have to look at the season, not maybe nationally, but certainly in different areas, you know, being at risk, you know, having to change significantly because of those results that are continuing to pop up.
Boy, so many things that I know you're following. Adam Rittenberg is with us from ESPN covering college football. Give us your thoughts on what has gone down at Iowa and how they have handled themselves with the challenge that they had with their strength coach, Chris Doyle. So he's out, but how do you think that they handled that situation?
Well, you know, I think you had to make that move if you're Iowa, and you had to do it quickly because of the number of allegations and the number of former players that you know, really targeted the strength program with their concerns and their experiences that they shared publicly. But it's far from over. You know, there's still you know, a number of players that have grievances, especially involving head coach Kirk Ferentz. You have an outside law firm that's going to be looking into this over the next few weeks and talking to people who have come forward. It doesn't seem like the majority of folks who have spoken out are demanding that Ferentz is removed, but there's certainly others beyond Chris Doyle that are implicated here. And again, the one thing that's very hard to come to grips with is when Ferentz said, "I didn't know what was happening," or I had blind spots, or "this is all news to me," because of the way that program, like many, is set up, where the head coach and the strength coach are number one and number two in terms of importance and power in that program. I mean, Chris Doyle was the highest paid strength coach in the country for a reason. Iowa's program is built on player development. It's built on great in the weight room, and they had results that way. So none of this was, you know, this is all breaking news to you. That's the hard part for a lot of these players and their parents to reconcile involving Kirk Ferentz, even though he may not have been, you know, kind of directly involved in a lot of these allegations.
We're talking to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, and one thing that we've discussed on this show and I've been paying attention to is NASCAR has slowly started to bring some fans back to their events. They've announced their all-star race at the Bristol Motor Speedway that has held a football game before. They hope to have 30,000 fans in a facility that holds 160,000. So I bring that up because how much do you think that these schools and these conferences will pay attention to that to see how that might pertain to them this fall and possibly bringing fans in?
Well, I think the fans thing, you know, I don't know if it's a misunderstanding, but I think the thought that the schools are going to decide the fans isn't really true, from my understanding. It's A, what does the state say? And then what does your local jurisdiction say as far as large gatherings? And if both of those are saying, okay, you can have these gatherings, the schools are going to find a way to get as many people into their facilities as possible because of the revenue that they would lose otherwise. And so, you know, I live in Illinois, and our governor has been pretty clear, no large gatherings, that would be the last thing that would come back. So we'll see if that's the case in the fall. I know other states are in different positions. So, you know, what is your governor saying? What are your state public health officials saying? And then, you know, I think schools just want to know what's my percentage. And then we have to obviously go about, you know, the social distancing, you know, practices in the stadium, and how are we going to do bathrooms, and how are we going to do concessions? How are we going to do tailgating? Are we going to do temperature checks for everybody that comes in? So, I think again, they're going to see what the guidance is from the state and local levels, and then they'll, you know, kind of adjust accordingly. But it's not as though I think schools are saying, well, we will decide for ourselves that we'll have a full stadium, or we'll decide for ourselves we'll have 50% full. That's not my understanding, at least.
Well, and then the debate becomes, okay, let's say you're a school that holds 100,000. We'll just use that as easy. And so you can have 30,000 in your stadium. So then how do you decide? With pro sports, it's all about, all right, you buy a ticket, you're in. But you have students that you have to consider. And if you're saying that it's safe for them to go on campus and they have to go back to class, are you going to deny them, you know, entry into a stadium? I know some charge student tickets, some don't. So that's then the question of who gets a ticket, who's eligible to get a ticket.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a big story going forward. And there's going to be some very tough conversations, whether it's with the student groups or whether it's with your top donors. What are the suites going to look like? I mean, those are indoor, so in some ways those are riskier. than having, you know, a group of people outside, even though you can move around in those suites a little bit more. But are you going to tell your top donors that, hey, you can only come to three games this year? Man, that's a tough conversation to have if you're an athletic director. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it's configured and who gets in and what type of lottery systems there's going to be or which games, you know, these people can go to and then these people can go to the next one. So, yeah, I just know, like, from talking to athletic directors and others, this has been an incredibly busy time because they're having to prepare for all of these different scenarios, whether it's no fans or 25% or 50%, and then the testing for the athletes and making sure that everybody on the field is virus free, and they're just, it's going to be a very difficult logistics season for the entire sport, including this element.
I'll get your opinion on this part too, and this is something that we discussed I guess a few weeks ago. Not all schools, but some have started selling alcohol on campus on game day, you know, inside the stadium. When you look, sure, at social distancing and trying to put those protocols in place, how do you think that it affects that at all? Because let's be honest, you get a few beers in you, you have a little less fear, maybe you're not thinking about social distancing as much. Do you think that that's a conversation that either is going to be had or has already been had?
Absolutely. And also another thing too, I was talking with an AD about this last week, that if you're out tailgating for 4 hours, your body temperature is probably going to go up. And so if there's a temperature check at the door, maybe you don't get in because you register a temperature that's too high. So they're thinking about all these things. That same AD told me that, hey, our menu, and we didn't talk about alcohol, but our food menu is going to be streamlined. You know, we're only going to have the basics. So I think a lot of schools have to think about, you know, can we pull off alcohol? Can we pull off a full menu? I mean, what is it going to be like with the tailgating scene? You have to think about all these elements. You know, and then also think about, well, we obviously want to get as many people in and out safely because that's going to help our bottom line. And we know that we're going to be losing a lot of money, you know, in the 7-8 figures for most of these departments for the next fiscal year. So it's really having to balance all of those things and thinking through, how are we going to handle alcohol? How are we going to handle tailgating? How are we going to handle bathrooms? How are we going to handle the concessions and the food menu? It's just going to look very different this year, and hopefully it's only this year, than it will, you know, any other year that all of us can remember in this sport.
No doubt about it. A lot of things to sort out. Adam, thank you so much for the visit. We appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right, that is Adam Rittenberg, covers college football for ESPN, and we do appreciate his visit. We will come back. More on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton on with the podcast.